Many small-scale farmers and consumers asked for an official definition for the word organic, and they got it. As a consequence, the organic food industry has blossomed into a $14 billion a year industry with a growth rate of over 20% a year. Quite naturally, the giants of industry looked upon these green pastures and decided that they too should become organic. And so organic is becoming industrial. Today, giant organic companies like the Horizon Dairy Unit of Dean Foods control as much as 55% of their market. This leads some to ask, should these giants of industry be allowed to call themselves organic?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
They say we should be careful for what we ask because we just might get it. Hello out there. You are tuned into the 507th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Acadelia who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at Metro, at Food Chain Radio page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave. And producer Carol Stafford. She's out today, but we have the lovely Marlene Olson sitting in on the telephones. Hello, Marlene.
Hi, Michael and listeners.
Folks, a decade or so ago, many organic food advocates petitioned the federal government for an official definition for the word organic. They got what they asked for, and the organic foods movement blossomed into a multi-billion dollar a year business, with growth rates exceeding 20% a year. Some in the organic movement now say the industry is being hijacked by corporate giants like the French dairy giant Groupe Danone, which owns Stonyfield Farms, and even the most feared giant of all, Walmart. Recently, an organic watchdog group called the Cornucopia Institute filed a legal action against the giant Horizon Dairy for the greenwashing of its milk. We thought this an excellent opportunity to ask, should industrial-scale farms be allowed to call themselves organic? Here to help us explore this question today, we have Mark Castle from farm policy analyst for the Cornucopia Institute in Cornucopia, Wisconsin. Mark, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey, what's it like in Cornucopia, Wisconsin today?
Well, I happen to be in southwest Wisconsin, and I can't tell you. Cornucopia is the farthest northern city in Wisconsin on the shores of Lake Superior. Cornucopia Institute is virtually officed. We have six staff members in six different locations, so Cornucopia is just one of those locations.
Okay, good. Well, tell us about the Cornucopia Institute. What are you, and what do you guys do?
Well, the polite term is we're a farm policy research group. Some might refer to us as a think tank. And our mission is dedicated to promoting economic justice for family-scale farmers. Mm-hmm. For decades, this country has hemorrhaged families off the land. The industrialization of farming, which really started in earnest back in the 60s when Richard Nixon's Ag Secretary Earl Butz popularized the term get big or get out. Just get the hell out of the way because we're going to run right over you. And it's really proved to be a correct forecast. When I started doing farm policy work here in Wisconsin in the mid-1980s, there were 45,000 family-operated dairy farms. Today, there are less than 15,000 left.
Wow.
And now we see more and more of these what are commonly called factory farms. In the industry, we call them CAFOs, C-A-F-O, or concentrated animal feeding operations. They're very common in the West, where the dairy industry has moved. But now here in Wisconsin, we either even see, quote, farms with 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 cows in a confinement setting, very high production. And really, organics was and is the antidote to that trend, both for economic justice for farmers, but also for consumers who want to support a different kind of environmental approach to farming.
Right, and that's why so many people ask for the official definition for the word organic, right? We need a different way to do this.
Well, back in the 80s, when we first approached the government, there was a hodgepodge of voluntary standards. Every certifier at that point had developed their own standards, from CCOF in California to OCIA, Organic Crop Improvement Association, which was the largest at that point. And many of these certifiers wouldn't recognize each other's standards. So when it came to promoting commerce and incorporating ingredients from, say, different farmers or different regions into one product, it was really impeding the process. And then we had, and I hope you don't take offense out there on the left coast, but we had the state law in California, which allowed farmers to nuke their ground with herbicides 1 year, be organic the next, and then use chemicals again the following year, when the voluntary certification back in the 80s, all the voluntary groups basically, as we do today, require 3 years without any chemicals and prohibit, once a farm is organic, rotating it in or out. So we didn't have a level playing field back then. It was a small industry, and as you say, look what we've got now.
Well, let me ask you before we go on. We always ask our guests who pays the way. So who supports the Cornucopia Institute? Where do you get your money?
Well, we're a nonprofit. We're chartered as tax-exempt charitable by the IRS as an educational group. About a third of our funding, and we're very proud of the diversity of our funding base, unlike most policy groups or think tanks that might get 80 or 90% of their funds from foundations. A third of our funds come from charitable foundations. The largest is the Jesse Noyes Smith Foundation in New York, but includes groups like Farm Aid that support our work. Another third of our funding comes from about 900 members nationwide, including a pretty fair group out in California.
Right.
And about 70% of our individual members are farmers, the balance being their urban allies.
Okay.
And then a third comes from what we call ethical businesses. So quite a few food cooperatives around the country, some of the dairy concerns, feed elevators, people who make their livelihood in the organic business, be them cooperatives or family-owned businesses, that are now up against these large corporations that seem to be farming by press release rather than getting their hands dirty for a living.
Well, that takes us to Horizon Foods. And, of course, you have brought legal action against Horizon Foods, Horizon Dairy. And, of course, we tried to get Horizon Dairy to appear on the program with us today, but they refused to participate and just said, sorry, if you want to talk about some other organic issue, we'd love to talk with you, but we're not going to talk with you. And Cornucopia Institute. So why is it that Horizon Dairy will not talk with you, Mark Castle?
Well, we are pathological truth tellers. Our job is to out these people who are profiteering at the expense of the integrity of the organic label. And so they really don't like the reality. Dean Foods is an $11 billion corporation. They're the largest milk processor and handler in the world. They have a 30% market share of all the fluid milk in the United States, far, far bigger than anyone else. But as you cited, a 55%, according to the New York Times, market share in organic dairy. Anytime one company ends up controlling that kind of percentage of the market, family farmers get screwed, and it usually ends up costing the consumer, either in terms of quality or a lack of competition, so the prices get jacked up.
Right. And you're not the only one that's picking on poor Horizon Dairy. It seems like the Organic Consumers Association, which is another organic watchdog organization, is calling for a boycott of Horizon Dairy. So what is wrong with Horizon Dairy? Why did you bring a lawsuit?
Well, we filed this legal complaint with the USDA because they're operating a 4,000 cow farm in the desert in Idaho, and they operate another 500 to 600 cow farm in on the eastern shore of Maryland, as well as buy milk from other quote farms, milking as many as 10,000 cows in a confinement setting. And there are although the organic law is scale neutral, it doesn't say that you can't milk, let's say, over 1,000 cows. The law is scale limiting. And one of the ways that it limits the size of farms is it says that you must promote the natural instinctive behavior of your animals. And for dairy cattle, that means they must be provided pasture and grazing.
And you're saying that they're not, right?
We're saying that they're not. They're either not providing any or not providing meaningful pasture. And I visited these farms, and in fact, the one in Idaho, when I visited, they had what we call show pasture. They had the CEO of Whole Foods out just before I visited, and they were, quote, grazing their cattle on this 2.5 foot tall stand of oats, very coarse. You know what straw is.
We're going to have to take a quick break right now, Mark, but we see now what you're talking about, the greenwashing of organic dairy. What you're saying is that Horizon Dairy is not truly being organic. What they're doing is they're greenwashing what they're really doing. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Mark Castle from the Cornucopia Institute. We're talking about their legal action against Horizon Dairy, but we're also talking about the organic industry in general. Do you believe that industrial-scale agriculture should be allowed to call itself organic agriculture? Lots of interesting questions come out of this. And specifically, can one comply with the letter of the law and yet break the spirit of the law? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Love to hear what you have to say. We'll be right back with Mark Castle from the Cornucopia Institute and you. Again, the phone number is 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Please do stay tuned. Well, out there, do you eat organic foods? If you do, you're among many. As a matter of fact, since the word organic became an official word with an official definition, the industry has blossomed into a $14 billion a year business. It grows at 20% per year. Quite naturally, the giants of industry have taken a look at this growth and seen some greener pastures, and they've migrated to those greener pastures, and as a consequence, organic is becoming industrial. Now, there are some among us, the Cornucopia Institute being one, who look at this growth and question whether industrial agriculture can be organic or not. And they're keeping a close watch on some of the participants in this industry, and they are crying foul. More specifically, the Cornucopia Institute and the Organic Consumers Union are both pointing the finger at Horizon Foods, which is a unit of Dean Foods, and Horizon Dairy, a unit of Dean Foods, and saying that Horizon Dairy is cheating on the ways in which it feeds its dairy cows. Mark Castle from the Cornucopia Institute, what are organic dairies supposed to feed their cows? How is that supposed to work?
Well, there isn't a specific prescription. Most dairies feed a blend of items, the primary being forage, whether it's cattle harvesting it herself out on pasture during the growing season, or stored hay bales in the winter. And
so there we have ruminants eating grass, right?
We need to have ruminants eating grass. And again, organics is supposed to have a different kind of ethic when it concerns the environment and humane animal husbandry. Mm-hmm. And God created these creatures to be out in the sunshine eating fresh grass. And not only do they live much longer, healthier, and happier lives, but the milk is actually healthier. There's a number of components in the milk that if you're getting organic milk that comes out of a feedlot, you're really not getting the product you're paying for. So,
well, what is it that Horizon Dairy is doing that's so bad?
Well, they are primarily converting factory farms that confine their animals to, quote, organic production. And the majority of the feed intake, the vast majority of these animals, even during a period of time where fresh grass can grow in a region, is being consumed through feedlots, through feed troughs in these confinement feedlots. And many of them are located in desert areas that really aren't conducive for organic livestock agriculture, whereas all of the crops or pastures have to be irrigated. So if it's depleting the aquifer, and if then they're shipping the milk hundreds or thousands of miles to market, that just doesn't seem ecologically sustainable to us. And it also undercuts family farmers, be they in your region of California or in Wisconsin here or in the Northeast. We just shouldn't have factory farm milk shipped out of the desert just because they can push the cows for extraordinary production and then undercut the value of milk to the hardworking families out there.
Well, let me ask you this, Mark. In looking at Horizon Dairy, don't you think that Horizon Dairy is doing the organic industry a favor, as it were, by bringing organic foods to the masses?
Well, if that's all they were doing, that would be great. And let me emphasize that although we act as a governmental and corporate watchdog for organic food and farming here at the Cornucopia Institute, we are not anti-corporate. We can give you some examples of corporations that are good organic citizens, that are making large investments, expanding the marketplace, but buying their commodities from family farmers with high integrity who have their names on the label. That's another thing. We have all these large corporations, Michael, kind of hiding behind a facade. You'll never see the name Dean Foods, this behemoth, on a carton of organic Horizon milk. You'll see the word White Wave, and that's their division based in the Boulder, Colorado area. Mm-hmm. that includes Silk Soy Drink and the White Wave Tofu, and for some weird reason, it also includes International Delight non-dairy coffee creamer, which here in Wisconsin we refer to as White Death. So, strange corporate bedfellows, but there are, and another example of that is General Mills, that owns the Cascadian Farms label, if you buy their cereals or their frozen vegetables.
Well, like I said, you know, the organic industry has grown up. I mean, these giant industrial corporations see greener pastures. They jump into the pastures and they gobble up successful organic companies.
That's the American way.
That's the American way.
Let me give you this other example. Let me give you Heinz, and you're familiar with their tomato products. Mm-hmm. In Europe, which has a much more mature market, instead of maybe 3% of the market, in some countries 10% and growing, they chose to market under the name Heinz. And when they introduced their first product in the United States, which was their ketchup, again, they used their own name Heinz, but it goes farther than that because they don't import tomatoes from Mexico or Central America or whoever the cheapest bidder is at that given time. They contract with farmers in California. They're all certified by an outfit called Oregon Tilth, which is one of the old line, started out as a nonprofit helping build the organic industry. And they don't contract with some unknown entity to process and produce their ketchup. They do it in their own plant. And so what we say is if they want to invest in the organic community, we should welcome that kind of corporate citizenry. But we'll be damned if we let somebody hide behind some warm, fuzzy facade and import products from China or manufacture their products on factory farms and then represent them as, quote, organic to the consumers. Because that just that disadvantages the farmers and the ethical businesses, and it's certainly not giving the consumer what they think they're getting.
Still, what are they doing wrong other than being big and being industrial?
Well, Michael, you can't milk 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 cows 3 times a day out in the desert. And I should add that almost every organic farm in this country milks twice a day because it's hard enough moving cows to a fresh piece of pasture, bringing them back to your milking parlor, and then putting them back out on pasture again.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, it just becomes a logistic impossibility. It becomes kind of a fake system. And so they can produce milk cheaper out in the desert. They have access to cheap Hispanic labor, which is some of these large farms are abusing their workers. We think that these hardworking people deserve better than that.
I don't think there's any such thing as cheap labor.
Well, it's cheap in relative terms, Michael.
Okay.
You and I would not live in a trailer without any shade in the middle of the desert right next to an industrial site and have our children exposed to deleterious health impacts if we had a choice. And some of these hard-working people, unfortunately, don't have a choice of better employment.
Okay, folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about the industrialization of our food chain. We're talking about specifically the industrialization of the organic industry, which is a $14 billion a year industry and growing at the rate of 20% a year. My goodness, that's explosive growth. And we're talking about our eating habits, and we're wondering if these giant industrial foods corporations can satisfy the letter of the law, organic law, as well as the spirit of the organic law. We're looking at them and seeing if they can figure out a way of being industrial and still finding a way to comply with the spirit of industrialization. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Please do stay tuned. Welcome back out there. This is the Food Chain radio program. We're talking with Mark Castell, who is a senior policy analyst for the Cornucopia Institute in Cornucopia, Wisconsin, the rolling green hills of dairy country. And we're talking about the organic food industry, and specifically the Cornucopia Institute's legal action against Horizon Dairy for what some of it might call greenwashing of their organic technologies. Horizon Dairy is currently the focus of a lot of attention throughout the organic world because they say, those who are looking and watching Horizon Dairy say that Horizon is not being as organic as they should be. And Mark, we're cruising along, and I'm just wondering, is it possible for somebody who has 2,000 cows to be as organic as somebody who has 20 cows?
We've never seen it, Michael. The average-sized farms, if you take these large industrial complexes away, the average-sized organic dairy farm is about 50 to 70 cows. Now, it is possible to be larger. We have some Cornucopia members in California that are milking 500 to 1,000 cows. Now, on California scales, that's not a very big farm, but you can see in terms of organics it is. And you could argue if that 1,000-cow farm is a, quote, family farm. But I visited there myself up in Humboldt County, where they get not like where the Horizon Industrial Farm is in Idaho, 7 inches of rain or 10 inches of rain a year, but they get lots of rain.
So, yeah.
And they grow very good pasture. And what you can't argue about is the fact they milk twice a day. They have their cows out on beautiful grass. Their cows are healthy. They live very long lives. Their milk quality is extraordinarily good. And they really are organic at a larger scale. So this is not just big against small farming. This is really farming with integrity against corporate farming that's presenting themselves as organic.
Well, can we farm with integrity and still serve the mass market? Is it
possible?
Oh,
absolutely. We've been doing it, as you're talking about the growth. Historically, the growth has been served by the family farm infrastructure around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And these large corporations could do what the pioneers in organics did, the pioneering companies, entrepreneurs, and that's invest in the farm, invest in the family farms out there, in education, in low interest loans. They could come up with a very, very aggressive program, and many companies are doing that already, including Horizon. They just aren't doing it the scale necessary to build up the supply chain. Instead, Horizon has actually announced plans to build another $10 million industrial complex out in the desert in Idaho. That's how they're ramping up their milk supply. Mm-hmm. For a fraction of that, they could have family farm milk by partnering with people around the country.
So, of course, it should be noted that the demand for these organic products is 20% a year. So what's happening is we're running up against shortages, right?
Absolutely. There is a shortage in organic milk right now. And it really doesn't matter whether you try to meet that shortage with one farm with 2,000 cows, or 20 smaller farms. It still takes 3 years to convert that land to organics, and it still takes 1 year before you ship milk that those cows have to eat 100% organic feed before you're able to put that organic sticker on the milk carton. So it really doesn't matter how you do it. It's still a challenge for the marketplace. It's just that these folks are choosing vertical integration. Let me tell you, Dean Foods doesn't own any conventional farms, but now they're investing in these factory farms for organic and allegedly trying to corner the market here.
Huh. Okay, folks, the phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Let's go to the phones and talk with Bruce. Bruce, welcome to the Food Chain. You're talking with Mark Castell. Go ahead.
Morning. I look forward to your program every weekend.
Thank you.
I have two points. One, recently we had a heat wave in California, killed about 10,000 dairy cows. Now, were those cows the ones that are essentially raised and they lived their entire lives in barns?
Well, there are many areas in California that are farming in these similar desert-like conditions, and they're mostly confinement dairies, be them organic or not. And most of these, the vast majority, are conventional, not organic.
I mean, what I mean is, if the cows can walk around outside, they can at least cool off a little bit.
Well, to be honest with you, there are times where organic farmers must pull their cattle off of pasture.
Well,
and they're allowed to do that for the health of their animals. So if you were actually a legitimate organic farmer in an area that the heat went up that high, you could bring them into a shady area and not have them out there. You might be grazing them at night when the sun isn't beating on them.
I've seen the big open-air sheds in the Central Valley where the cows can go get shade.
Right.
That kind of thing.
But right.
I'm talking
so even if you were an organic farmer in a region like that, you would be permitted to confine your cattle to protect their health. Only temporarily.
Now, this is kind of a sick idea, but it's sort of a sick joke. I envision a product someday where you can get milk from anywhere. You take it home, and there's this chemical that you drop in the milk, and it precipitates out the hormones and the herbicides and the pesticides, and it's instant organic. What do you think?
Well, you can go to work in the laboratory.
This is a joke.
Organics is actually a prescription of how to approach the farming system, and so that wouldn't be organic. It might make you $1 million, but it still wouldn't be organic milk.
Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Well, there's an interesting notion that I'm wondering about. But before that, I'm going to go to Linda, who has another one. Can we really blame Horizon when they are just taking advantage of the new watered-down definition of organic? Does that make sense, Mark?
Are you asking me or is Linda?
Yes, I'm asking you. Linda,
okay.
Linda emails in, can we really blame Horizon when they are just taking advantage of the new watered-down definition of organic?
Dean Foods, their parent company, spent $1.25 million lobbying in Washington last year, mostly at the USDA. And they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on lobbyists and campaign contributions. So they're very invested in the fact that we do have standards. They're just not being enforced right now, and that's why the Cornucopia Institute has stepped up to the plate. So, yes, we do hold them accountable because, let me emphasize here, and because I don't want to spook your audience. The vast majority of organic milk and labels out there are of high integrity. One of the reasons this has hit the fan recently is the Cornucopia Institute published a report in April entitled Maintaining the Integrity of Organic Milk, with a scorecard rating 68 different name brands and private label dairy products based on their integrity. And your listeners can find this scorecard at www.cornucopia.org. 85% of all the organic brands in this country are very high integrity. You have great choices out there in California of other dairies like Clover Stornetta in the middle of California and Humboldt Creamery in Northern California and Strauss Dairy and Organic Valley, one of the other nationally distributed brands that have farmers in California. And there's no problem finding milk that shares your ideals.
Okay, there you are, folks. Right back with Mark Castell. Do stay tuned. This is The Food Chain, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080.
Get this.
The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, folks, our demand for organic foods is expanding by the rate of 20% a year. We're now buying $14 billion worth of organic foods, and gosh, the industry's hard-pressed to keep up. There are essentially two ways that industry is coping with this tremendous increase. One way is the, in looking at the dairy industry specifically, is that dairy co-ops are working with individual farmers to teach them how to produce organic milk and how to sustain that production. And the other way is that it appears as though some of the organic dairy companies are building giant industrialized farms where they have thousands and thousands of cows, and when you produce thousands of thousands of cows, it gets down to the fact that you're looking at a confinement feedlot, which breaks, if not the letter of the law, at least the spirit of the law. Is that a fair summation, Mark Castle from Cornucopia Institute?
You're doing a great job. You need a job 5 days a week, and then you can still do your radio gig on the weekend.
All right.
Let us know.
There you go. Thank you. But so we consumers have to look at this and say, well, is it breaking the spirit of the law if you're complying with the letter of the law? And is Horizon breaking the or complying with the letter of the law by manufacturing milk in these giant feedlots? Can they do that, Mark? Is it possible for them to obey the letter of the law when you have thousands of cows in a confinement situation?
Well, our contention is they can't comply with the law based on our visits, photographs, satellite imagery, and testimony from many firsthand witnesses, including former employees. They're not really complying with the requirements that these animals have real pasture. Let me tell you about one other thing they do that's very objectionable. They sell right now all the baby calves off at birth, and to save money, because then during the first year of the animals' lives, cows need to be approximately 2 years old till they're old enough to go through a reproductive cycle and start mm-hmm. milking. They save the money, and instead of raising those calves up on bottle feeding them organic milk and organic grains and hay, instead they buy conventional cattle and on an ongoing basis, quote, convert them to organics, so that these cattle they're buying undoubtedly have been treated with antibiotics, fed genetically modified feed, and milk replacer instead of real milk. And that milk replacer contains rendered animal byproducts, namely dried blood. It's perceived as, to some, as a BSE risk, a mad cow risk. Mm-hmm. All those practices are thoroughly prohibited in organic farming, but they're bringing these cattle on their farms nonetheless. The USDA says they're now going to address that loophole that's being exploited. But that's an aberration in the organic industry, and even if that is not violating the letter of the law, that practice certainly is violating the understanding of the consumers just for an extra profit dollar.
Well, is it possible for them to comply with the spirit of the law? Let me ask you that.
Absolutely. Their competitors are.
Yeah, but they're not complying with the spirit of the law by having a feedlot situation with 2,000-3,000 cows, are they?
Well, Michael, you're making our argument for us. So,
well, I'm trying not to. I'm trying to think in terms of of Dean Foods and their Horizon Dairy unit, and I'm trying to think, is it going to be possible for us to comply with the spirit of the organic law?
Well,
By having these giant feedlots. I mean,
it's unfortunate that they wouldn't participate in your program today so they could voice their own position. But what they've said is that size doesn't really matter. But let me tell you that it does. That nobody is, that this farm out in Idaho milks 4,500 cows, but with their young stock and their dry cows between lactations, they're managing 8,000 cows out there. And, there isn't anybody that we know of in the United States that's really doing this, either conventional or organic grazing, with much more than 1,000 head. And those are the exceptional operators, not absentee owners, some corporation that hires folks. Those are the exceptional farmers that are able to do that. So to tell us that out in the middle of the desert, they're going to do that 3, 4, 5 times bigger than the largest farm that's doing that anywhere in the country, in Oregon or in Wisconsin, or in other areas that grow great grass because it rains, is a real stretch of the imagination and a real disservice to their customers.
Well, for the benefit of those of us who don't know, why do these companies move their dairies from the grass, which is what cows eat, right? They're ruminants.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they move them from the grass to the sand? Why do they move them to the desert?
Well, as they... and all these farms generally were conventional farms before they were, quote, converted to organics by just basically force-feeding cows organic feed in confinement conditions. The whole dairy industry shifted west, Michael, when they started to industrialize in these great scales, because it really doesn't matter if you're talking about conventional manure or organic manure. When you take the manure of 8,000 cows and you concentrate them in a relatively small area, this is like untreated sewage from a modest-sized city. It's a great potential environmental liability. And the problem in Wisconsin is when you have that much manure in one place, it rains here.
Water.
Yeah.
Water.
And so we contaminate our rivers, our streams, Lake Michigan. If you do it in the middle of the desert, it's much easier to handle that much more concentrated manure. But unfortunately, what it's hard to do is it's hard to graze your animals. So that's why the factory farming... Yeah,
it's hard to graze them on sand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Factory farming in the desert should be an oxymoron.
Okay, folks, right back to the phones, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, folks, we tune into the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson here with Mark Castle from the Cornucopia Institute in Cornucopia, Wisconsin. We're talking about the world of organic foods, and we have a bucket full of phone calls and a thimble full of minutes, so let's go right to them. Let's start with Terrence. Terrence, welcome to the Food Chain.
Yeah, my question is, since corporations, the Board of Trustees has a responsibility to its shareholders to create a profit, and that's its primary responsibility, whereas organic farms are aiming to create sustainable systems. And
yeah, but they also have to make money too, Terrence. I mean, organic farms have to make money too. That's part of what sustains them, right?
Yes, but I work on an organic farm, and we make a lot. There are a lot of factors that go into our decision making.
Mm-hmm.
The overriding motive of a board of trustees for a corporation is to make a profit for its shareholders.
Right.
And organic farms, we incorporate, we have to create sustainable systems. So the question is, how do you merge those two to have them be compatible? And even a corporation like Heinz with good intentions ultimately is going to have to come back to the profit motive and say, okay, we have to slash here and here and here, because we have to create that profit for our shareholders, and that is our number one concern.
But that's a great question, Terrence. But before we go to Mark for an answer, I'd like to ask you, do you think a company can comply with the letter of the law and still break the spirit of the law?
Absolutely.
Okay, Mark, what do you think about Terrence's question?
Well, he's right, and actually we hope that the corporations that invest in organics make a return, but there's two ways to keep these folks honest. One is their internal ethical code, and I don't think that
which
every
is what Terrence is talking about, right?
Yes, I don't think every corporation out there is out to cheat. I think some recognize that organics is a growing and lucrative market because of this partnership between farmers and consumers and because of ethics. And if they respect that, they're going to be rewarded in the marketplace. It makes good business sense. And the other way they're going to stay in line is if we ever persuade the USDA and our government to crack down. And in the meantime, folks can visit cornucopia.org and get involved in this if they have a passion and care about organic food, because it will be the public interest groups like Cornucopia and others that hold these large corporations accountable. And in the marketplace, consumers have great power, because you can penalize the bad actors and reward the heroes out there. And there's, as I said, there's plenty of heroes. Take a look at that scorecard on cornucopia.org so that you can make good, discerning purchasing decisions.
Terrence, quickly back to you. Do you think it's possible that, do you think that the industrial scale farms should be allowed to call themselves organic farms?
It depends on what you mean by industrial scale.
Well, somebody with 2,000 acres of lettuce, do you think that it's possible for them to be organic?
I think so. Okay. I think so, that if you have a person who has the spirit of organic, is understands it and is committed philosophically, you could do that. But if they aren't, then no. And that's why I'm concerned about corporations owning organic farms.
We're out of time right now, but gosh, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Mark Kaskel. And folks, if you didn't get a chance to log on your comments, you can do them by going to the food forum page at metrofarm.com. I want to thank Mark Kaskel from the Cornucopia Institute, and stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on the Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.